The first reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11, and you can find this on page 1179. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From John's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1, and can be found on page 1063 in the Pew Bibles for those who wish to follow. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Bishop Gibbon of Clondower, and we felt it right to show the video that was made on a happy year in Cambridge, and I was teaching at City of Ely College, just down the road, and for teaching practice, that's where I kind of cut my teeth looking after children. And I got involved in a weighty staff meeting where they were discussing, I won't bore you with the word, the technical word and what it means, but curriculum is effectively what you teach children. And they decided, because Cambridge was just down the road, to get a couple of philosophers in to help them decide what they should teach. This meeting went badly wrong because they started off by saying, well, before you can work out what you teach and what you do with them, you have to answer the question why they were philosophers. The trouble is there were two of them there and they spent hours debating with each other what the word why meant. I mean, you just lose the plot. However, there's a very serious point here. Why is the question we least ask ourselves for what we're doing? And as we look very simply this evening at John's prologue, which we often hear at Christmas time, we can easily tune it out with the familiarity with baby Jesus, Mary and Joseph, and the incarnation and carols and so on and so forth. And the atmosphere is good for us. We all need a break. There's Christmas trees and so on and so forth. But actually, John's prologue is the most profound piece of literature. And as it were, it's God's why before all the what and the wherefores and the maybes of Jesus' life happen. He does his miracles, he teaches, he preaches, he heals, he calls his disciples. He dies, he rises again. But none of that will make sense, according to John, unless you understand this why. And I put it to you and I put it to myself that you can go through the rhythms and the routines of each day, each week, each term, each year. Well, let me be so bold, each life, and never really ask the question, why? I hope this works, but what is your philosophy of life? Perhaps I mean moment by moment, well, why have you come to church this evening? But why? What's the big picture answer for your life? Why are you doing this? Here's God's why, and it's expressed in just one word. This is God's why. This is why he's here. I mean, it's a big question to have a thought on, isn't it? But it's contained, I believe, in probably the most important word in the whole Bible. And it's there within this John's prologue, the philosophy of the whole of John's Gospel, chapter 1, as we've just heard read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God in the beginning. The most important word for God is with. Before anything came to be, the Word was with God. He was with God. Before anything came to be, God was there. And what was there, as it were, with God? God was with. You dissect him and you see what's there within God, you will see he's with. He's with the Word. He's with his Son. He's relating. And Jesus, in John's Gospel, does his life, his teaching, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. And he stands before he ascends to his Father in heaven and says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know what's happening, don't you? And all authority has been given to me, and I will be with you. In other words, God's very nature, which is to be with himself, that's, he can't just be self-contained. He says, I want to be with you. And then you look at the last book of the Bible, and the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, and it calls out, you hear a loud voice from heaven proclaim, Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, behold, the dwelling of God is with. He's at it again. I mean, I've got character traits in my family. I can predict what each of my 5 children is going to do. They're just born like that. They behave like that. I can rely on this one to do that. What we can rely on God to do from beginning to end is with. That's how he's going to be. He's with his people. It is great being a parent, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And to my shame, I've done it myself. I phone my parents up, and my mum would say, "So how can I help you? What do you want now?" First thing they'll ask for is, "So you want something from me, rather than just to be with me." It's not always like that. But do you not sometimes feel God might feel the same? I've got this problem at the moment. I'm really worried about this. There's this sickness, there's this anxiety, there's this concern. And God can handle that, for sure. But most of all, make no mistake about it, from beginning all the way through to the end, all that God wants is with. That's his why. That's why he's there. It's his only reason for being, for someone to be with. And he could have done it without us, but he chose not to be. He makes us in his own image that we should be with him. And the tragedy for our own souls and potentially our own lives, if we go through the moments and the rhythms and the routines of each day, negotiating the what's, the maybes, the wherefores, how to get this done, what should I do here, is that we forget the why is to be with God, and then we forget him in all that. John's Gospel proclaims, you'll never understand what Jesus did unless you understand the why. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling with them, among them, to be with them. Most people find that God can be with them with the bigger things of life, if they're struggling, if they're calling upon him. But we sometimes forget that God wants to be with us in the small things of life, the moment by moment, the peeling of the potatoes, the washing up, the ironing, the driving, the filling in of the tax form, the sending of the birthday cards, the life. He wants to be there. There is a philosophy or a view of life that I happen to think most of us subscribe to, but the Christian church would say it's a heresy. Fancy word coming up. It's called deism. God is there. It's just that he's there. He's kind of watching the whole thing. He maybe has a blip every now and again when a hurricane spins out of control, but he's effectively there. He's really not involved in the machinery or the mechanics of the world or our day-to-day life. It's a complete and utter heresy. Except most people going along being good, hard-working, attend church maybe, sing a few hymns, say a few prayers, but actually they've forgotten that God's with them, and that's what he most wants. Brother Andrew, what's that book? Practice the Presence of God. Enough said. God wants to be with us. Let's bow our heads to pray. We humbly acknowledge you, Lord God, as the one who's been with us this evening. Grant us open hearts and open minds and willing wills to sense your presence with us moment by moment of every day. May our why be you, as we acknowledge that your why is indeed us. And all God's people humbly said, Amen.